And welcome back. The more we pave our suburban landscape with so-called impervious surfaces, the greater the challenge of water quality stormwater management. The challenge is to allow more rainwater to be absorbed into the ground and prevent less of it from running off into sewers and streams, carrying with it yard waste, chemical residue, and other polluting materials that can contaminate streams, add to sedimentation and infrastructure damage. One strategy for decreasing the runoff is something called rainscaping. It's something commercial and residential property owners can do, and there are some interesting incentives available to encourage it in numerous St. Louis suburban communities. Joining me in studio to talk about rainscaping and those incentives, Carla Wilson is program manager for the Missouri Botanical Garden Deer Creek Watershed Alliance. Bob Shelton is Frontenac City Administrator, and Lance Lacombe is Public Information Manager for the Metropolitan Sewer District. Thanks all so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Carla. Let me begin with you and just kind of give us an overview of the problem as it exists without rainscaping.
Well, I'm going to bounce this one to Lance, actually.
I think what you presented with, when you look at particularly in St. Louis, in the older urban area, you have a urban landscape that over a couple hundred years has been steadily paved over. The community, at least in a landscape basis, the built environment we live in, is more blacktop, more cement, less green space. Not even talking 200 years ago, just 20, 30, 40 years ago. And a number of the issues we're dealing with from a regulatory perspective and a stormwater management perspective and a wastewater perspective involves unwinding that urbanization that has taken place to return to Mother Nature. So to a certain degree, we have to unwind that blacktopping and cementing and restore green spaces, not only for the regulatory issues we deal with through our wastewater program and an agreement we have with EPA, but for broader stormwater issues such as the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance is addressing through the rainscaping program. And it's the implementation of these natural features, if you would, rain gardens, catch basins, what have you, to manage stormwater on site instead of conveying it somewhere else, which is going to transform our community, but really does have, when you look at it in a cost-benefit perspective, because cost is very important to everybody in the community, and a cost-benefit basis really has the most bang for the buck, not necessarily directly in addressing stormwater, but also it has other externalities, changing the built environment, creating a greener, healthier community, providing better connectivity amongst neighborhoods and neighbors. And so it's rewinding that urbanization, bringing on new strategies, which are really old strategies, and redoing things in a different way versus just gray infrastructure, pipes, everything else.
I had mentioned infrastructure damage. What sort of damage are we talking about?
Well, it's when you look at our regulatory issues, we are trying to reduce sewer overflows. And so we wanted to get water off of our sewer system. Instead of building deep tunnels, we're going to employ about $100 million of rainscaping in the city of St. Louis along the Missouri River. Now, what the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance is doing through the rainscaping program is taking a step back and saying, you know, you can improve water quality by catching the raindrop at its source instead of conveying it to area creek or stream. You can help with ponding and localized flooding instead of building a big gray infrastructure system. And right now in the county, we have potentially $1 billion in stormwater issues, not wastewater issues, which everybody associates MSD with, but stormwater issues. And that $1 billion could be cheaper if we implement this green infrastructure like the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance is doing so through its rainscaping program. And also it has other benefits, going back again to greening in the community, bringing more aesthetic value to neighborhoods. There are numerous studies out there that show public health is improved by having these green spaces and having a less sterile built environment, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Carla, now back to you. Explain in a little more detail what rainscaping is and how it works. Obviously, I've suggested you want to keep the water out of the storm sewers, if you will, and out of the streams. How do you do that?
Well, basically, any kind of landscaping feature that allows the water to be absorbed more into the ground rather than letting it run off is what we call rainscaping. Mm-hmm. And people think of lawn grass as being green. And it's certainly green, but long grass has very short roots and is typically over heavily compacted soil because those deep roots do a lot to it has to do with the ecology of soil and how it works. But there's a complex interaction of organisms that allow that soil to become permeable. And so there can be plant-based solutions that are rainscaping, which essentially is changing out lawn grass to more deep-rooted structures. But also there are other rainscaping, what we call best management practices, which includes things like rain barrels or green roofs or even putting a cistern underground in your backyard.
But you mentioned rain barrels, and my first flash thought when you mentioned that is you're not going to collect an awful lot of water in a rain barrel.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Some studies have shown that in order to catch the first half inch of rain, you need to have about 6 rain barrels around 1 downspout. And so that's not that's just not a significant amount of water. However, a rain barrel can be an excellent component of what we call a treatment train, where maybe some of the water you would catch in your rain barrel, and then there could be a soaker hose that comes from that rain barrel that leads to your bioswale, which leads to your rain garden, which leads to your lawn alternative or perennial bed. So typically in a yard, there is no one silver bullet, but there is probably a combination of features that you can install, as well as the fact that what may be the right feature or set of features for one yard isn't necessarily the correct feature or set of features for another yard.
Bob, let me turn to you with regard to what Frontenac's doing and give us some sense of what Frontenac's master plan is all about.
Okay. Thank you, Don. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak on behalf of Frontenac. We're excited. Approximately 8 years ago, our elected officials, together with some of our volunteer committees, our public works group, and our city staff, developed a stormwater master plan. We have a consulting engineer who we've used to work on the hydraulics and all those things. What was happening is about, in the 1960s, late 50s, early 60s, a lot of beautiful ranch homes were built in Frontenac on a lot of one-acre lots. Now some of those homes have been torn down, and we have infill housing, beautiful custom homes. But with those comes more runoff onto the neighboring property. So, a lot of this construction was going on, and nobody really realized until the aftermath. So part of our master plan, one prong, is to deal with this new construction. We require that no new runoff is created, so they have to do a hydraulic study. Many of the solutions include on-site detention, which are rain gardens. And so the residents, obviously, with this kind of investment, want it to look nice. And so we've been working with, the botanical gardens and MSD to make sure that we get the correct calculations, but also that it looks nice and is attractive. So our master plan also includes some capital projects that we're doing throughout the city. Working through the rainscape with all of these entities has helped make our residents more knowledgeable about some of the things, not only with new construction, but on their existing properties. Maybe if they have some runoff or they have a scorched piece of their ground that's hardened, they can participate in one of these projects, get the knowledge, even get a little bit of funding, and not only help the problem they may have, but in turn reduce any runoff that's creating a problem on their neighbor's property. So our collaboration with this has just helped our staff and helping our partnerships with all these organizations involved with this.
Carl, it sounds like an admirable objective, and I think we all agree that it would be. But it also sounds expensive.
Well, it's not as expensive as people think it is. So there are, I would say, if you are a commercial entity and you have a parking lot, or if you're dealing with a redevelopment project, then yes, it's expensive. Because in most of those commercial cases, you're trying to capture a lot of water and treat it in a small space, like runoff from a parking lot. However, for a homeowner who doesn't have a big parking lot and may have a yard space, there are best management practices that they can employ that are really not very expensive at all.
Really?
Well, comparatively speaking. So a homeowner can implement an effective rainscaping project for somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $3,000 very easily.
Lance, how much water can be retained, absorbed, as opposed to going into the system if we had a widespread rainscaping project?
Well, we aim for, on average, for example, our activities are regulatory-driven. We aim for management of a 20-year storm, which is a probability of a storm given happening in a given year and confuses people. But it's essentially 1 inch of rain falling on a standard city block or 1 acre of property, that is a 20-year rainstorm. And we strive for rainscaping features that will manage that amount of water and hold that back from the sewer system as part of our agreement with EPA. The other, you know, when you're looking with what's happening through the rainscaping program at the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance, they're looking more towards the water quality. Yes, the management of the stormwater, but if you can capture that water at its site, filter it through natural methods, there is a great deal of value there. I just want to jump back real quick. You talked about the cost. The one thing that we are seeing is that the cost for these types of activities are coming down as adoption becomes more widespread, and you have technologies which are proving themselves as well. And when you look at developers trying to become LEED certified and getting other certifications or tax credits, the costs are getting very competitive, not in some cases present just as competitive. But when you look at the value that is realized for that investment, those externalities I talked about earlier, I don't think you can discount that as well. We're St. Louis. We're always going to care about costs. That's how we are. We're Midwestern conservative. But those costs are proving themselves up very well. We're seeing a good trend in terms of versus gray infrastructure. And there's a lot of value in human health and livability and community aesthetics that we're seeing that I think people should take a step back and think about before they perhaps criticize this approach.
I want to come back to cost issues in just a moment. But Carl, let me come back to you with regard to what the Missouri Botanical Garden is doing to incentivize this whole process.
Well, Missouri Botanical Garden has several resources. One is available to anyone in the region, and that's an online rainscaping guide. And that's at www.mobot.org/rainscaping.
We'll have a link to that on our website.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to let folks know they can reach it through us as well.
Great. And that gives people step-by-step guidance in terms of stepping through what I mentioned earlier, that the solution for your yard is going to be specific to your yard. There's not a cookie-cutter approach usually. And that guide does a very good job of guiding the average homeowner through it. Also, for between now and February 11th, on that same page, there is a rainscaping prize drawing that's also available to anyone in the region. And there are six rainscaping prizes worth $350 to $1,000 each.
Awarded for what? For ideas, for implementation of a rainscaping project, or for particular innovative ideas?
This is available to anyone who completes a very short survey. The purpose is that they will use it for a rainscaping. For example, one award is $500 worth of plants from Shaw Nature Reserve's annual wildflower plant sale, which is coming up in May. And then if people want to in the survey, they can voluntarily sign up for an email newsletter to get more information about rainscaping. The big program that we have is very exciting, but it's only available to residents of 19 municipalities that are in the Deer Creek watershed. And if you go to that page, you can also find out more about that program. And that's a $2,000 rebate, up to $2,000, or 75% of the program costs, whichever figure is less. And that is also, you can find out more about it by going to that same link.
Frontenac would be one of those 19 communities, I assume.
Bob. Don, our community is available and is a part of this partnership. One thing I would like to mention when we talk about the cost, because I understand your concerns about that, is that we have had residents who attend the seminar, the informational seminar, and may not even want to apply for the funding assistance. But they've had ongoing problems in their yard, and they've spent multiple rounds with landscapers. And when they see this project that can actually work and help benefit their yard and only do it one time, some of them aren't even applying for the funding. They're just going ahead and using the techniques they're learning. And in the end, they're saving money because they're not continually replanting. They've started using some native species and started putting some, you know, softening their soils. And so that's a real win-win project.
Can I mention, that reminds me of one more resource. We're going to be holding another rainscaping training workshop at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, January 29th. That is free. And it's to help people with their applications if they would like to come.
I have that as January 29th, a rainscaping orientation program at the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Correct.
You know, tell me something about the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance, 19 communities. That seems like a relatively small number of communities. What is the Deer Creek Watershed and why so few comparatively communities?
A watershed includes all the land that drains towards a particular body of water. So in other words, any drop of water that falls anywhere in the Deer Creek watershed will eventually end up in Deer Creek. And geographically, that happens to include 19 different municipalities. So anyone who lives in any one of those municipalities is eligible for that proposal, and that's because they're part of the alliance. And the Alliance is a program that that's the goal of the program.
Any expansion plans to have this embrace a larger number of communities?
Well, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, MSD had an impervious stormwater fee in place for a couple years in lieu of a taxing system. We were sued in court. We lost. We're back using that taxing system. Supreme Court said we can't even conceive of using the impervious fee as is right now. So we're going to have some sort of vote for stormwater funding in our service area. MSD has two utilities. We're a wastewater utility and a stormwater utility funded by separate funding streams. Stormwater is dramatically unfunded right now. We have a very hard time providing stormwater services to our customers. Some customers go without stormwater services. But our hope is once we do get a rate in place, be it in a couple years or whenever, we want to expand these programs. We want to be able to support them throughout our entire service area in the city and county. Right now, because of the peculiarities of our funding, we are restricted to really the city of St. Louis along the Mississippi with a focus in North St. Louis as part of an agreement we have with the Environmental Protection Agency. To address stormwater regulations and stormwater responsibilities we have, we're drawing out of a taxing subdistrict that is in the Deer Creek watershed. It's very well funded, but we don't have that type of funding all over. So the goal and what we have very much in mind is to get a funding mechanism in place that allows us, because it has great promise. As Bob said, people have been having long-term generational issues at their homes, are finding real solutions here, and we want to make that available to all our customers. But we do need a change in our funding. But it's also important to have actors such as the Deer Creek Watershed Alliance. You need to participants. You need hands-on people that will help you with this, and they certainly serve that purpose through the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Well, let's take a couple of calls. We have a number of people who want to get into the conversation. We'll start with Greg calling from Imperial. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay. I had an experience some time ago, and my comment is that I really appreciate what these people are trying to accomplish in St. Louis. I'm a carpenter, certified journeyman, and my own experience here in Jefferson County where I live is one that the county building departments don't necessarily have an open mind when it comes to some of the things that would be an advantage as far as watershed. I have an acre and a half. It's incredibly steep. A tree fell on my house, and I had to replace my roof. My roof was originally flat, and the county told me that I could not have a flat roof, even though I had submitted a design that had sedum and a lot of other things on my roof, and I do have rain barrels, and I try to slow the water down. It just seems to me like there is a disconnect in a lot of the policies that are put forth by county governments and even our state governments.
Let's get some response to that as time begins to get away. Who would like to tackle that? Bob, you look like you're ready to.
Obviously, I can't speak to the particular situation in Imperial. I can say, as a benefit to the program, these 19 municipalities – by building these partnerships and sharing information. I mean, the cities, we are very, very active sharing information with each other, especially in St. Louis County, when it comes to police and fire and sharing services and street repairs and even budgeting. But we didn't have a mechanism in place when it came to water management or clean water or stormwater. So the groups, the cities that are active with this rainscaping are now sharing information and becoming more active. It's getting shared onto our staff, our elected officials, and our committee representatives. So I think as these things can continue to grow, there's an absolute benefit.
Carla?
I would also say that this is a pioneering new field, and so municipalities and counties are learning new best practices. So, for example, there's communication around weed ordinances and changing weed ordinances, and it sounds like your situation is similar. So it's a question of learning what are best new ordinances to go along with these new best practices, and that will take time and evolution.
This issue is more complex than a lot of people might have thought initially, I would guess. Let's take another call. We'll bring in Jeff calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Jeff, but please make it a quick question or comment.
Sure. I'd like to suggest that in addition to commercial and private, there's also public options. For example, Southwest Garden Neighborhood Association in recent years spearheaded some improvement projects along Van Deventer and Southwest Avenue that incorporated rainscaping. And this is something that people can promote in their neighborhood associations and with their elected officials.
All right. Thanks for the call. Seemed like a good idea. Lance?
Absolutely. And it's MSD's hope that if we get the stormwater funding situation sorted out, we'll be able to support efforts like that. Right now, that particular neighborhood, I'm very familiar with those efforts. Great work that the neighborhood associations are doing down there in Southwest. A lot of elbow grease and will is making it happen, but we would like to be in a position in a few years where we could more directly support it.
Well, the main issue, and again, time is becoming a concern for us here, the main issue is to get more people involved. So, Carl, let's go back over that again, what folks can do through your organization to become involved, learn more about it, and take action if they choose to.
They can go to the Rainscaping Guide and educate themselves. They can come to one of our rainscaping orientation workshops. They can submit for a rainscaping prize drawing and get resources that way to help them implement rainscaping. And then finally, if they live in one of the 19 municipalities, they can right now apply for Rainscape Rebates Program.
And you mentioned a survey earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's it. When they go to it's a rainscaping prize drawing. So we ask them to fill out a brief survey, and then their name is entered in a random drawing.
And there's a cash prospect as well.
The cash is part of the Rainscape Rebates Program. Mm. So if they live in one of the municipalities that is all or partially within the Deer Creek watershed, they can receive up to a $2,000 cash rebate for their plan.
In terms of the prizes, what are some of the things in just a few seconds that will be available?
It would be plants or a stone bench or assistance with planning are some of the prizes.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our discussion, I think. Bob, do you want to put a bottom line on it in a few seconds from Frontenac's point of view?
Just sure, Don. I appreciate that. From Frontenac's standpoint and all the other municipalities, if I can speak on their behalf, it's just been a wonderful cooperative effort. It's been helping all of us serve our residents, which is what we do day in and day out.
And 15 seconds, Lance, final thought?
MSD, we're there. Or we're pushing this where we can. And when we get the stormwater funding sorted out, we're going to push it everywhere. It's a great promise, great hope.
And I'll tell our audience that we have more information on this on our website at stlpublicradio.org, including a link to the Missouri Botanical Garden and that survey that Carla's been talking about. So go to stlpublicradio.org. Thank you very much, Carla Wilson, Bob Shelton, and Lance Lacombe for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the significant increase of flu cases in the area and what the government and medical community is doing to try and prevent them. And we'll have an update to a conversation, a conversation that is, we had last month about Bitcoin. The St. Louis area has a unique connection to the relatively new digital currency. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.